What is going on, y'all? And welcome to episode one of Chatting with Big Folks, with me, Big Folks. Of course, my name is Joe, Flo Zandolini on Twitter. There are plenty of you all who follow up my company, Barbershed Network, my main podcast, 79th and Hallis. Those of y'all who see me cover the Bears for the past 2 years, but now you're sitting here and you're watching this podcast that I have right now and listening to this podcast. And there are some of you who do not know who I am, have never seen me in your life, have never listened to me, and you're listening to it for the first time. For whatever reason, I thank you for taking the time out of your day. I'm not sure what you're doing. You could be lounging, working out, driving, but for whatever reason, I'm just thankful that you chose the time to sit and listen to me. Now, of course, the podcast has been hinted at for quite a bit, but I never really found the right time to put it out. On top of that, what is the podcast about? And I think it's really encompassed in the name, chatting. We're just talking. And what it can be about is, of course, it's going to be up to me, but it's really a variety of topics. But today's topic is community and struggling. Now, I think traditionally podcasts have a specific format, specific topics, and they try to hit those topics. Maybe they have guests. For my podcast, I will have guests occasionally. I don't know when, but I don't really have a specific format. It's just me really ranting and raving. It reminds me of that Simpsons episode with that Simpson trope, that meme where Homer's dad is old man yells at Cloud. And that's sort of what my podcast is about, but a little bit more nuanced than that. But what I really wanted to start this podcast for was just to have a place to talk about things that I think are important. Now, importance can vary in this scale and what we're talking about and what specifically, in what instance, in what specific place and time something is important, because something can be important in a specific context, but in a maybe a bigger transcendent context, that's not important. If I'm about to eat a steak, I'm going to need salt and pepper. That's important because this salt and this pepper helps season the steak to perfection. You don't really need anything more than that for basic seasoning. So in that specific context, salt and pepper is important. But if I say, oh, man, the world needs to talk about our distribution of salt and pepper, I'm not sure most people would care. So that's what I mean by context. And so when we're talking, some topics will be big. You know, one day I might just sit here and talk about the weather. I don't know. But for this topic and this first episode, I want to talk about community. Brief background on me. My job, of course, is running this company with my brother Scott and with the homie Pierce. The three of us run this company. I also am a Bears beat reporter. I've been so for 2 years. I was a student. I finished in December, and I walk in May. But what I do is I'm a theologian. Theology is the 2 degrees I have from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, systematic theology, theological studies. I like to talk about God. I like to talk about the lack of belief in God, the belief in God. I like to talk about philosophy of religion. Those are my topics, but those won't always be the things I'm talking about. But just a brief background on who I am. Flo Zandolini, my name, for those of you who do not know, and I will probably only do this once. This is introductory. Flo's, I used to rap in high school. My name was Young Flo's. Eventually, Flo's just became the moniker. It stuck. Friends to this day still call me Flo's. My brother's friend, Mike, the owner of Pillars, if you know him from in Chicago, whenever I see him, Flo's is the first thing he says, and it's stuck. And Andolini comes from The Godfather, the main character, Vito Corleone. His original last name was Andolini before he came to America. So I brought the two together and became my Twitter name for like the last 10 something years. So that's where the name Flo's Andolini comes from. But before this podcast, just call me Joe, simple and plain. But what I really want to talk about today is community. Now, I don't know how long the podcast will be. Maybe it'll be 10 minutes, 20, 30, 40, 50. I try not to make it too short. I try not to make it too long, but enough to get the topic across. But we're talking about community and struggling, and what it means to be a community that struggles, and what it means to struggle within your community. Now, community, of course, has many different definitions and context. It could be your spouse. You and your spouse, you know, are a community. You, your spouse, and your child are a community. You, your parents, are a community. You, your parents, your grandparents, you, your parents, your grandparents, your cousins, so on and forth. I don't want to think of community as something that's so large or something that's very, very small. It is literally all of those things, and it varies. But I really want to talk about struggling with the members of your community or communities. Now, of course, it's probably best to say as members of your communities, because we're all a part of multiple communities. I'm a part of a community with my parents, a community with my parents and my brother, then with my cousins, as I said before, and with my girl, with my friends. All those things represent a community. And I was moved in a negative way by many tweets and many words or Instagram posts where people would say, you know, right now, at this point in your life, you are elevating. And if your friends aren't elevating with you, you need to move on. Now, in some ways, this can be correct, because in terms of elevating, they could just be terrible friends. It could be terrible friends who are not adding anything to your life. And when I mean adding, I mean being some sort of a friend. But at the same time, there's also nuance in this. And I think this is really the goal of what I want to talk about right now, is just nuancing these conversations. I think the worst instance of this is when I hear pastors talk like this. You know, right now, God is putting you right here. God is elevating you. And there are people below you who are not adding, and they're taking away from your life. God is moving you past them. I thought to myself, what? Why would God move you past his people? Now, of course, there are instances, as I said before, where you have no choice and you have to move on forward. They'll be left to their devices, and, you know, eventually it will remain that way or you'll come back. But in between there, in between your levels, whatever that means, because it's different for everybody, there's a struggle that you need to endure with people. And what I say by this, and what the reason it really just not even grinds my gears, it hurts my soul, it hurts my mind to hear people talk about moving past friends and moving past this, that, and the third, because it's like, what do you take life as? Human beings are social beings. We're social. We thrive in a society. We thrive when we are social. There is nothing, of course, that doesn't say nothing, but you don't come into this life, you don't thrive in this life without the help of other people. It just does not happen. Who brought you into this life? Your mother. She brought you into this life. You didn't say, you know what? If I'm the sperm, I'm going to go find the egg. I'm going to bring them together by my sheer will as a sperm. And then I'm going to grow the process myself. No, you did it in your mother's womb. You didn't do any of those things. Who fed you when you came out? Your parents, your guardian. They did that. And then when you grew, when you got into kids, you had teachers. When you had teachers, you got people who helped you. I mean, if you went to the grocery store and someone even scanned your bag, just help. You don't do things in life by yourself as much as you'd like to think. I've seen so many people say, oh, man, you know, I get it out the mud by myself. Probably not. Now, of course, if I'm sitting in my room, let's say for my own sake, I'm experiencing a panic attack and I'm going, oh, okay. And I calm myself down. I remember what I was taught. Yeah, I got myself out of that. But when I think about it deeper, I realize I didn't really get myself out of that by myself. I got myself out of that with the help of the people who helped me before. Specifically for me, my therapist, Lisa. I struggle with generalized anxiety disorder. That is what I was literally diagnosed with. I take, I don't know if I can show it on screen, but you'll see a little bit of this. This is Klonopin. Klonopin for my anxiety. And then here is Lexapro for my anxiety. I take those two daily for my anxiety. I've been taking it for like 2 years. I have my therapist, Lisa, of course. I have talk therapy, and I have, today is Thursday, March 24th. I will see her at 4 p.m. Virtually. And she's been a big help to me in my life. And she's one of the people, in addition to Dr. Amundsen, who was my first psychologist, and Amanda, who was my first therapist, who taught me these techniques to calm myself down, to center myself, to fix myself in a certain time, right? To just think, okay, I feel the texture of this desk. I see the light shining right here. To just take note of the things in my environment so that when I'm in a tough situation, I go, I know how to get myself out of this. And so when I'm going through something severe, I didn't really get myself out of that on my own power. I did it with the help of them. So it is when it comes to the things you go through in life. Now, of course, a lot of this is a Western context, because Western society is very individualized. You know, the will of the person. In Eastern societies, are very communal. Now, there's a really fine line between there that I think you should walk, because community is important. It's the whole point of my first episode. You have to remember to sometimes struggle and do things for your community, but don't forget the individual. Don't forget yourself too. And how it looks for every person will differ. But what I think our current society, our current Western culture has done is made it acceptable to be selfish to the point where we ditch the community at any inconvenience. And so when you hear phrases like, oh, I'm elevating past myself, if they're not on your level, you need to leave. It's like, no, man, no. You need to struggle with your friends, with your family, with community. You need to go through the rough with your friends, family, and community. Only then can you know if this person is a worthy friend, if this person is a worthy this, that, and the third. You won't really know without struggle. If you are expecting, like when somebody, you know, some people will say, you can't really trust anybody. You can't have any expectation of anybody. You can't expect them to be loyal to you. Well, loyalty is different in every context. If you want someone to do the things that you will do, you need to clone yourself. That is the only way you will find someone who will do the things you want. Clone yourself. Oh, you don't have a clone machine. So guess what? They're not going to do the things you want them to do. Your friends, your family, your community will do the things that they think are correct in their mind, in their, when I was taught in my philosophy courses throughout my time in graduate school, we learned about plausibility structures. I can't remember the name. I think it's probability structures. It's basically their background and their environment and what they learn that turns them into thinking this way and thinking that way. And it's their upbringing. I don't know if it's plausibility structure. You know what? We're just going to look it up right now. I want to say it's plausibility structures. And it's how, it is plausibility structure. And so the systems and the environments which they're in make certain things make sense for them. And it's different for everybody. So you just can't believe that because they don't do something the way you do, that it's an issue. But that's what it means. That it really means to be with a community is people doing things differently. Now, unfortunately, we take the fact that people do things differently, people do things wrongly in our community as a signal or is a red flag that we need to get away. Now, I want to preface this by saying there are plenty of actual red flags. There are people who are abusers, people who are narcissists, and people who will just take advantage of you at every turn. I do not think or believe you should sit there and allow them to do those things to you. Now, if you want to struggle with them and help them out of those tendencies, that is completely up to you. Really, completely up to you. Because there's a difference between a person being an abuser and a person doing something stupid in a weak moment. Those are two different things. So when you're dealing with an abuser, someone who has a habit of doing these things constantly, get yourself out of that situation. And if you, on your own volition, your own agency, want to help them see the error of their ways, that is completely up to you. But what I'm talking about right now is people who may make mistakes, who may not have been as loyal in this situation, who might not have been as giving in this situation. And you take that to mean this person is just messed up and I need to move away from them. I need to elevate myself. Or if you've got a great job, you know, you're doing financially successful. I think about my own friends. You know, me, I'm really financially successful. I'm okay, but I am following my dreams. But I have friends who are financially successful. And thank God that they don't look at me and say, this man ain't earning what I'm earning. I'm a dip. They don't think that way because there's so much more in terms of friendships than just elevation. But so many people look at that as, oh, I'm getting this way and they're not getting what I'm doing, so I need to move. Oh, you need high-class friends for a high-class life. The fuck does that mean? It's such a stupid thing to think that the monetary gains we make are more important than the friendships we have. Unfortunately, I'm here to tell you people that it's not. It's not. The really valuable things in this life are flesh and blood. These things are the most valuable thing in life. What you earn can lead to a great life. And people say money doesn't bring you happiness. That's not necessarily true. If I am going through financial debt, I owe Navi, me, myself, a lot of money. And I get into a new position and I earn a lot of money. and I pay that off. Oh yeah. The money that I earned brought me happiness through its use. But of course, what brought me happiness was paying off the debt. But this is, so I can't say that it's not important. The money's not important that you earn. But what I will say, its importance is lacking in comparison to the community that you have. And to go back to what I heard a pastor, I don't know this pastor's name, could have been Mike something, I don't know his name, but was talking about the levels and how God is going to put you here. To invoke God in that is just crazy. But it is an example of the culture we live in now where we think we got to do things on our own. We got to do it for me. Me is most important. Now, people hear that and say, well, yeah, why wouldn't I be the most important person? I'm here to tell you, you should look after your brother, your sister, your friends. You should look at them with the same concern you look after with yourself. Now, of course, it would be impossible to follow that to a T because you wake up, you can't control what they do. And if you're friends, you don't live with them. But you should care about them with the same care you have about yourself. Life is just so much better when you care about the other person as much as you care about yourself. This will go against many people's sensibilities. People disagree with me. Some may turn this podcast off. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm not going to apologize. And perhaps the plausibility structures of my upbringing, my religious upbringing, make me believe this. Of course it's possible. But I've found in life the best things are found through a communal setting. The best things are found when I struggle with the community that I'm in, when I experience it with my friends. I know when I hang out with my friends just to sit and talk, to laugh, and I can look to my left, I can look to my right, and just realize, oh man, I'm having a good time with the friends that I have. Because that community is just something special. And too often we have made it acceptable to focus on yourself and yourself alone in a communal setting and not struggling with the people that you're with. Now, this does not mean relationships and how someone can be abusive, as I said before, but we've made it too acceptable to run a struggle or to think this is a problem. This is a red flag. There's a difference between struggling and actual red flags, but we've made it comfortable to just dip. We've made it comfortable to dip at the slightest sign of inconvenience. And unfortunately, that's just not what life is about. When you are in these situations and you experience hardship, grow with those people. They're going to do things that piss you off. Like, oh man, nobody can hurt you. Nobody can betray you like a loved one, like a spouse. Well, fucking course, duh. They're the closest people to you. Why wouldn't they disappoint you the most? If I am on the street and I get stabbed by a random person, I won't say, yo, what the, how could you? I don't know this person. I don't know what they're going through. They just stabbed me. I don't know them. I don't have background information. I don't have a connection with them. So of course they disappointed. So of course they can't disappoint me. I don't know who they are. Now you can have a disappointment in humanity, but that's your perceived notion of what humanity is. But if I were to be with my brother Scott, and Scott looks at me, brandishes a knife, and stabs me, my first thought is going to be, et tu, Brute? You know, Julius Caesar getting stabbed by Brutus because he knew him. That was his friend. Because I know my brother. I have an understanding of what our relationship is. I have experiences to live with this person, and then I'm disappointed. So, of course, the people closest to you will disappoint you the most. It's because you know them. That phrase just always said, duh, what are we proving here? What are we proving when we are saying those things? We're proving nothing. Maybe it's just a way for you to state the obvious. I don't know. But don't be surprised that the people you know the most will disappoint you. You can't help that you feel disappointed. And I'm not here to tell you to not feel disappointed. You experience those emotions, but then you move forward. And you struggle with the person again. You continue the relationship, struggling with them. And I don't know when it became an okay thing. Of course, I don't think there's anything new under the sun. Cultures and the things that are okay and social norms and values will change from one thing, go back to the other thing. And unfortunately, in our current society, it's just selfishness is a big thing. And It ain't hot. It's stupid to put selfishness over the value of community. Now, of course, we're going by semantics and the literal definition of selfishness, then you'll understand what I'm talking about. Matter of fact, let's bring up the Merriam-Webster definition of selfish so that we understand exactly what I'm talking about. And so, this does not mean thinking for yourself or doing something for yourself. That's not selfish. Literally, Merriam-Webster describes it as concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself, seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regard for others. That is the selfishness I am speaking of, and it is not okay. It's not okay in a general context. It's not okay. Without regard to others, it's not okay. You're going to disagree with me. Maybe it's stupid. I'm clicking off it, like as I said before, but it's not okay. You need to look out for the welfare of others. When we have these idealized societies, these utopias, where we do these things, we do those things. Do we take into account that it has to look out for the other person? One of the biggest things in our modern societies and context is finding that factor that makes things so much better. Oh man, how could people do this? How could this happen? This happens in a world where we don't look after our fellow person. We don't look after, we don't care for the needs of this person, where we earn, where we take, where we get without focusing on how would this affect the person around me. It's easy to be selfish. It's easy. We do it all the time. If I get up, I have a dog, Buddy. I don't know if Buddy is a Shih-Pu or is he a Bichon Frise? Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that. But if I get up and think, I know Buddy needs to be fed. Buddy can't get his own food, but I'm going to go pour me a bowl of cereal. That's selfishness. I just thought, no. But that's the easy thing to do. I'm going to just get my cereal. The harder thing, and harder is relative, is to say, all right, come on, Buddy. Let me pour his food. Let me set it out for him. And then once I see he's eating it, then let me go focus on myself. That is what I mean. That analogy is the perfect description of what I think it means to struggle with community. It means to put that person, that whoever this person is within your community, on a high level with yourself. To think, let me help them as much as I want to help myself. Because too often we'll say, they got two hands, they got two feet, they got a mind, they can do it on their own. You know, it's that whole bootstraps thing. So many people get mad with politicians who say, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. We get mad at them when we say that. And I agree, it's fucking stupid. But then we do these miniature bootstraps policy in our own lives. You better do it yourself. You better do it yourself. You didn't come into this world on your own. So why would you then abandon the community that you had when you were born for a form of selfishness? Now, it's impossible for me to trace every instance of when it's okay to do this, when it's okay to do that. So I'm going to stick with just the semantics that we know, the definition that we've established, and that is excessive thinking of oneself and how I just don't think it's okay. It just really just messes with me. Really messes with me that this isn't easily understood. There are plenty of things on earth that I think are worth debate. And don't really have a right or wrong answer. Like if you're a consequentialist or you're a school of thought of deontology, where you're thinking about the intent versus the consequence. Now, consequentialism is the consequence of your action is what's most important. I'm really, really breaking it down to the simplest thing. And there are more thoughts on it in the school. I can't think of the specific school of deontology. It is not utilitarianism, but it's basically the intent that matters. Those things are up for debate. Just, you know, what is better? Is it the intent or is it the consequence? That's up for debate. I don't really think there's a concrete answer as to who's right. But when it comes to being selfish or being selfless, I think the clear-cut answer is to be a selfless person. If there were more selfless people in society, we would have a better society. The more selfish people there are in society, the worse the society is off. I think that's 100% true. And I think that's really just the basis of my entire point right now is struggling well with the people in your community, struggling well around them, understanding that we're human beings. We're not perfect, whatever perfect means, and we will struggle. We will make mistakes. We will hurt the ones that we love. We will do things that are stupid, that are callous. We will not elevate ourselves, quote unquote. We will not do those things. But understanding that I love this person is a part of my community, I'm going to struggle with them. I'm going to struggle well. I'm going to forgive them when they make mistakes. Ooh, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a tough topic to talk about. And I don't even mean a Christian background, you know, or Abrahamic background, a Judeo-Christian background. Just forgiveness. Just, I forgive you. I forgive you for what you've done. Let's move on forward. Too often, of course, forgiveness is used as a blanket statement to get around or forget the abuses that people have done in life. I don't think that's what true forgiveness is. True forgiveness is between, if you're someone who is religious Christian like me, it's between me and God. It's me telling God, I'm not going to hold what they've done against me the same way you don't hold my sin against me, and I'm going to move on forward. In a non-religious experience, it's saying, what you've done, I am not going to hold that in my heart. I'm going to move on forward and forgive you. And then in true forgiveness and true reconciliation on their part, they're going to come together and ask and beg for repentance because of what they've done wrong in hopes that both parties can be made whole. If we're not perfect beings, that means we will do imperfect actions. That's just basic deductive logic. I didn't list two premises, but I'm deducting from that logic that imperfect, Joe is an imperfect being. Imperfect beings do imperfect actions. Therefore, Joe will do imperfect actions. That is deductive, solid, sound, valid logic. You can't escape it. It's 100% true. And so since I would do an imperfect action, why would you expect me to do perfect actions all of the time? I mean, majority of the time you want people to do the right thing. You want people to do the best possible thing, but it just doesn't necessarily work that way. In the heat of the moment, people do stupid things. People make incorrect decisions. And we need to find the time to forgive. We need to find the time to say, yeah, okay, I forgive you. Let's move on forward. Now, if they are continuing to do this, it develops a pattern, then it becomes abuse. That's a different, it's a different thing. But people making mistakes, we need to be able to say, all right, I forgive. Let's move on. Let's go to the next thing. Let's experience the next thing. And unfortunately, we just don't do that anymore. We've never done that. Human beings have never done that. It's never been a worldwide thing or widespread thing to do. I'm not gonna be one of those people who think, oh, back in the day, no, I don't know any time where we were, as a Western society, not selfish. I think it's been that way the entire time. You know, it reminds me of the whole make America great again thing. You're like, great for who? Great for who? And so that's why, from my own perspective on selfishness, there is not a time where we were not selfish as a people. It's always been this way. And do I think there'll be a cultural shift where we embrace the values of selflessness and forgiveness? I don't know. Just ranting. I'm just really throwing darts at the board right now, hoping something sticks. Maybe for some person listening, it'll stick with them. Maybe they just hear the chat, disagree, call it a day. But I just can't help but think, why is our first action not to say, okay, that's messed up, let's move on? Why is our first action often, I'm moving on? I don't really have a concrete answer to that. It's just something that's been puzzling me. This is why I gathered everyone here today for a chat, to listen and to say, this is what I think. It's just easy to be selfish. It's easy. My girlfriend before needed help, because her car was acting up. I have a car, I have my own car. I could help pick her up, take her to work, because on that day, it was a Friday. Company work typically to do Friday. I don't cover the Bears typically on Friday. I just chill. I thought to myself, man, I gotta get up. My girlfriend's a teacher. I'm like, oh, you're telling me I gotta get up at 6 a.m. in the morning on my day off and go take her to work? First thought is, make up a lie. I gotta do something in the morning. The tough thing to do was, okay, and since I said, okay, babe, I'm gonna take you here, what am I gonna do to prepare? I'm going to go to sleep early. Maybe I'll go to sleep around 9 o'clock. I can wake up at 5 o'clock. I have a chance to get up, feed my dog Buddy, From there, I can make myself some food. 6 o'clock rolls around, I can start to get myself prepared. 6:15, I'm out the door. 6:45, I'm at her house. 7:15, she's at school before her 7:30 start. Everything works out perfectly. That's the hard thing to do, but you're thinking selfishly. That's why it's tough. Selfishness is the easiest action to do. I think it almost comes second nature to human. I'm going to do this. It's probably almost, some of it may be tied to our survival instinct. Like as a child's going to think about, baby's not going to think about you. Baby's think about themselves. But what else can they do? It's up for us as parents. I'm not a parent, but it's up for human beings as parents, as guardians to say, well, look out for this person. No, that's not right. Look out for this person. And why? Because it's tough. It's hard. Selflessness, it sucks sometimes. I hate looking out for the other person. But I often think, how would I want somebody to look out for me? I want someone to forgive me if I made a mistake. I want someone to say, Joe did something stupid there. But you know what? That's my boy. That's my brother. That's my homie. It's my son. It's my brother. I'm going to look out for him. And we're gonna move on forward from that. I'll be like, man, thank you. I'm sorry. And you move on. I've made mistakes. I've done dumb stuff in friendships before. And to be forgiven, to ask for true repentance with them and to be forgiven was one of the greatest feelings of my life. And it improved the relationships that we had. I've lost relationships with friends for being stupid and being selfish and thinking of myself first and foremost and then moving on. Oh, well, okay. All right. Okay. That type of thing was easy to do. It was easy to do. And I look back and say, man, this person was my friend. Why the hell did I do that? Because I gave into the easy feeling of selfishness. When you are elevating in your life, don't look for a chance to leave them. Bring them up with you. If you got to, let's say we're looking at a roof as your elevation. So you started on the ground, but you ascended onto the roof of this proverbial success. You see your friends on the ground. The easy thing to do is keep moving forward onto the next roof, onto the higher roof, and to keep moving forward. The harder thing to do is, you know what? Take this rope. Take this ladder. Come up here with me. Elevate with me, whatever elevation may look like. That's the harder thing to do. Start to do the harder thing in life. Start to look out for the person below you. And this is, I say that loosely because I don't even like to consider the term below or lower. But look out for the person below you. Think, you know what? Come on. Come up with me. Elevate themselves with you. And if they're in a season where sometimes you're in a season where you're just taking from your friends. Now, I mean, taking, I'm trying to say that in the abstract sense, when I was going through my my only diagnosis was generalized anxiety disorder. It was 2016. I was going through a rough year. I had tear my leg. It was my MCL. It was so long ago. I tore my MCL, and we'll go with that. I tore my MCL and I was out for quite a while. Me and my ex at the time, we weren't working out. So, you know, she broke up with me and I had lost a job since I was injured. Rough period of time. Go to Los Angeles, hang with my brother, have a bad trip, bad experience. And I experienced the worst panic attack of my life. I think I'm dying. I feel like my eyes are about to close. I'm about to just, it's just the end of all things. And I come back home. I barely leave my room. My parents have to come take care of me. They have to feed me. I don't really eat. I lose 60 pounds in 3 months. When I hang out with my friends, probably starting December of that year, it's just me, you know, one of my friends, I just went to smoke weed with them, you know, or I just went to drink with them. You know, I wasn't bringing nothing to the table. No money. The only thing I did was taking my ass over there. I was taking. And I don't mean just taking in a physical sense, taking of, you know, of the liquor that they had. I mean, taking of their time. They're probably exhausted. Probably thinking, oh, here comes Joe. Hey, Joe, what's up, man? Yeah, come on over, bro. Probably thinking. But they did the selfless thing and helped me in my lowest point in my life. And from there, I started to get better. I started to go out more. I left my house. I started to walk. I walked around and said, oh, man, this is great. Oh, man, look at these trees. I felt better. Eventually, I said, "You know what? Okay, I'm gonna go call it. I'm gonna look around. I'm gonna call for a therapist. I talked to my primary care doctor, Dr. DG, Dr. Dixon Grievous." She said, "Yeah, well, you know, here, look into this person." So my first psychiatrist started getting on medicine for my anxiety. It's not for everybody. Started seeing a therapist, Dr. Amundsen, and they saved my life. But it was because of the help of my friends in those moments, them reaching out to me when only thing I was doing was taking of their time, taking of sometimes of their ability, mental ability to deal. I took, but in that moment, they were giving so much to me. They were just giving me of just love and energy. And it helped me to get out of that funk I was in. I didn't get myself out of that funk. It was a community effort. My parents, my loved ones, my brother, my best friends, they helped me get out of that situation. And that is when I realized in my big ass age of 26 at the time, the strength of a community. The wolf finds a strength in the pack. It's an overused phrase, but it's so true. The strength is in the pack, and they helped me. And in that moment, I understood selflessness is the way to go. In that season, I was taking. I was only taking. I did not give anything other than maybe they enjoyed seeing me. You know, in that time, I was just taking. But it helped, and it just took me out of a position that I was in, a really, really, really bad spot. And I think everyone would like friends to do that. And so if you want friends and family to do that, reflect it in your own life. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll do that. You may not find friends like that. But be that friend more than anything. Be that friend. Be that friend. You know, I'm not the person who believes that if you do good, good will happen to you. Maybe not. People have done evil and have got no repercussions for it. But I am the person of doing good for the sake of doing good. Do good because a person is in need and you can be that light to them. Do good. That's your community. Struggle with them. I don't say, man, you know, Joe is, man, he's gonna annoy me, bro. I know he's going through it, but it's been a couple months, bro. Get over it. Nah, Joe, man. Nah, I got some stuff to do, though. Stay up, though. All right, bro. That would have been the easiest thing to do. My friends groaned. They sighed. And they got through it with me. And that is when I learned the power and the benefit of a community. So wrapping this up, in your everyday lives, struggle with your community. And your relationship, not with abusers, not with people who are manipulating you, but people who are regularly, consistently doing abusive and manipulating. But people who are making mistakes here, your spouse. Struggle with them. Struggle with them. Learn to be selfless. And then hopefully those things will happen to you. If not, just do it because you want to put good in the world. The world needs more good. And the more good people that they are, the better the world is. So that's my show. This is episode one of Chatting with Big Folks about community and struggle. I rant and raved. I went back to a few topics. I repeated a few words. But and this is the second time I record as well. I started recording four times. The first one I just scrapped after 5 minutes. The second one I recorded a full episode, but I didn't really... I think the topic came across correctly. The third one, which was 43 minutes, so 45 minutes before this, I tried the intro 40 million times. I was like, welcome to Chat with Big Folks. I tried it over and over. So this is my fourth time doing this. And I think this is the final time. I really feel like I got the gist of what I wanted to say. And it is the beauty of struggling with your community. Whatever your community may look like, whatever it may be, struggle with them. Be the good. Be the light in the world. And maybe that light will extend to them and they'll become somebody else's light. Maybe they won't, but you did put light into their world. And that is the most important thing. People remember those who have done great evil, but they don't remember it fondly. They want to put that memory behind them. But those who have done good in their lives, this person was selfless. They always remember him. They always think, man, he was just... She was just the greatest person. She was just selfless. My aunt DeVera, selfless person. Probably the most selfless person I know. Everyone remembers her for it. They know, man, when DeVera comes around, I know it's going to get taken care of. I wanted to visit my brother in Los Angeles. Scott lives in L.A. I live in Chicago, obviously. We're both from the crib. And I was terrified. I have anxiety about planes. You know, I feel like they're a flying death trap. And so I called my aunt and said, Let's drive there. We'll drive to Denver. It's like 14 hours, 15 hours. So we'll go to a hotel or motel, sleep, and we'll drive again. And she was about to stop everything she was going to do, her job, take a day off to do that for me because she's the most selfless person I know. Some people say, what? Tripping. But that selflessness, it's beautiful. It's infectious. Strive to be selfless like that. I can't promise you'll get some sort of reward other than the good feeling of you help somebody. And helping someone, there's not another feeling like it. Knowing you help someone get to a place that they are right now, it's like, feels good. Be that person. Be that light. So for today's episode, I'm here to encourage you. Thank you all for chatting with me. I will catch you all. I'm going to try to do this weekly. Today's episode was 45 minutes, accounting for the 1 minute when I was messing up the intro. 44 minutes. I thank you all for listening. I will catch you all probably next week. Thanks.